Desire your prayers this morning that the Lord will bless a little portion of His Word. Thankful for the privilege to be able to hear and have the Word. It means much to me. On the way to service this morning, I saw a billboard, two of them. I'd seen them before. They didn't really impress me with the thought that I have about it right now. But this morning I saw the billboard. It's one of them right down the street here. It says, "We are here to listen, to help, and to heal." Community Hospital here in Springfield has that signage out there. You know, while I do appreciate everything they try to do for those that need them, sometimes I feel like that we, as people, we let too many things come in to take the place of God. You can't take the place of God. You can help one another, and we should help one another, but we can't stand in the place of God. One thing for sure, we all need Him. And then it produced another little thought in my little mind. And that thought is that, would you or would I be satisfied with the attention that I give God if He gave that same kind of attention to me? Really, the Bible tells us He is to have the preeminence in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Would I be satisfied if He just gave me the same kind of attention that I gave Him? The same kind of respect that I gave Him? I think that's a fair question. I think it's a good question. And I think we all need to kind of tuck that away a little bit into our minds and thoughts. I'd like to speak for just a little bit this morning about a personal understanding Savior. That's what Jesus is to me. A personal understanding Savior. We're all wired different. We all have different personalities sometimes, and I was praying to the Lord the other day and said, "Lord, You gave us this personality. I need You to help me to learn how to deal with it. Learn how to work with it and make it a personality that would be pleasing to You, that would be a blessing to You and to Your people." He knows how to do all that, and I'm glad that He does. I want to say it again. I want to talk about a personal understanding Savior. He understands things about us that we don't even understand. A lot of questions, I sit around at home sometimes and have a lot of questions arise in my mind. Things that I don't understand, things that I probably will never understand here. But the important thing for me is to keep my heart right and to live my life right in a way that would please the Lord. And that's what I'm endeavoring to do. I'd like for us to look at a scripture found in the book of Luke, the second chapter, verse 8. Very familiar to us. "And there were in the country," same country, "shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, today, in this day and age especially, they have a lot of gatherings, a lot of concerts, a lot of people coming together to hear someone speak, to hear someone sing. President-elect Trump was in Cincinnati, I believe, Thursday or Friday. And the place held, they said, 10,000 people, and they couldn't get them all in there to hear a man speak. And then I thought about the anniversary, I think, came up this past week, about a concert they held down in Cincinnati by a musical group, if you want to call them musical group, called The Who. Know nothing else about them. But they were there in concert at a Coliseum in Cincinnati, and the reason why that it came around again in history is because they had a stampede there after the thing was over, and there were some people killed going to those kind of places. My point is this morning, there's never been a happening. There's never been a gathering. There's never been a time in the history of this world that was as great as the Son of God coming into this world. This is about the babe that says that was wrapped in swaddling clothes. This says the angel came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them and they were sore afraid. God heralded this into our world. He didn't just let the little child be born, but God put his approval, put his blessing on it, and he made it known. He has made it known to all the world that his son, he sent his son to the world. We know that he sent his son to do a lot of things. Now I understand, and I'm not discounting in any way, shape, or form, that Jesus' life meant something. His death meant something. His resurrection meant something. But he had to come here first. And it was a great and it was a wonderful time. And it was heralded by God to you and I that it says here that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I realize we're coming up on the Christmas season. Christmas time, and I'm not going to talk about Christmas this morning. That's not my message. But I want to talk about a personal. And I may say it again, because I want you to understand what this little message is about. A personal understanding Savior. The angel said, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now I want to just mention a few things that he came to save us from. He saved us from things that we couldn't save ourselves from. He was born from above, wasn't he? He wasn't born of this earthly flesh as far as man and woman is concerned. He was born of the Holy Spirit, born above. You and I can be born from above if we're born again through this same Savior that came to the world to give his life and everything that he gave us. This Savior came to save us from sin, to save the world from sin. And one day we read that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what your race is, what your ethnic background is. Doesn't matter what your belief is. That one day everyone will bow before this great Savior. And we'll confess that he truly is Jesus, the Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He came to save us from sin. He came to give us victory over the accuser. I know we all know who the accuser is. And we all are familiar with his accusations, aren't we? Because he'll come and accuse you. I can go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow morning and he may come along and tell me, well, you're not even saved and I haven't even done anything to change that. But he's desperate, folks, and I want you to understand that. The devil's desperate because when time is no more, he can no longer accuse us, can he? He knows what his final end is going to be. And only while there's life and while there's time and while there's souls living in this world does he have the opportunity to come and accuse us. But we got a Savior this morning that came to give us victory over the accuser. That same accuser has come to steal. Jesus said he's come as a thief. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. He wants you to look around at the things that are happening. He wants you to see the circumstances and how dark and dire that they really are. And he wants you to focus upon those things. And that's how he's going to steal your peace and your joy. But we got a Savior. He's a personal and understanding Savior. He came to save us from ourselves, folks. I can only speak for me, but I needed saved from myself. Because myself is my worst enemy, always has been. And he's the enemy that I'll be fighting as long as I live here in this life. And one of the most important things that the Savior came to save us from is from the wrath of God at the judgment. Folks, that's important. It's better than what any man or any high official can promise us or give us. But he's a Savior that came to save us from the wrath of the judgment. He came to give us hope. He came to help us to know, and it is a no-so. I don't have to doubt. I don't have to question. But when I draw my last breath, I can know that I'm ready to go to judgment and ready to meet God in peace if I live that way. I'm thankful for this personal, understanding Savior. Jesus came to relate to you and I. To understand you. To understand why you think the way you think. And the things that you think. To understand the burdens. And the things that you carry in life. He came to understand. And he's very personal to us. While he's helping me there where I live and my struggles and my battles, he's also helping you, isn't he? He's universal. He can go to any one of us and all of us, and he does. The song says, no matter what happens, he will care for me. And that's basically what I want to impress upon your minds this morning. He came to relate to us, to understand our personal concerns. Now, I can hear your requests. And I can somewhat get a hold of your burden. And I want to enter into that burden and help you with that burden, help you bear it. But there's no one like Jesus that can enter into your burden, enter into your problems. You know, we come to service and we express some of our needs here and then everybody goes away and sometimes people just forget. Lord, help us not to forget. But folks, when we do forget, when we do get busy with the cares of life and things that come our way in life, there's someone that never forgets. Someone that always cares about you. About what is affecting you, what is touching you in your life. Always cares about that accuser that is coming to you and trying to destroy you and discourage you and to take you down. He cares. And he's a personal, understanding Savior. I probably don't have to say all of this, but I'm going to say it, the help of the Lord. I'm a person that likes quietness. I like it quiet. Sometimes I've been guilty of telling the wife when my youngest son, he's got the youngest grandchildren. The older ones, they don't kind of get on my nerves like the young ones do. And when they're gone, we'll sit there and she's not saying anything and I'm not saying anything. And I say, hey, do you hear that? She said, no, I didn't hear anything. I said, boy, I do. Quiet. It's quiet. And I love quietness. And you do too. You like things to be in order in your life. You like things to just chug along just the way that you like for them to go, don't you? But life is not like that. It's not like that. You and I've got to deal with life as it comes. And when quietness turns to chaos, and it does, things just falling apart. Things just not going the way that we'd like for them or want them to go. When quietness turns to chaos, then we have this old human frame that we have to deal with. We got emotions and they begin to take over. And these emotions begin to kind of string us out a little bit. Let me mention just a few things if I could. When your car begins to fall apart. When you get out there to go to start it on a very cold wintry morning and the battery died and it just won't even turn over. That's life, isn't it? We have a very personal and understanding Savior. It happened because He allowed it, is that right? Because He allowed it to happen. There's sometimes things happen in our lives that we have been careless about not taking care of and we knew we should have took care of it. That's so too. So may the Lord help us there. When chaos comes and we try to use something and it breaks and it doesn't work anymore. We all understand what I'm talking about here. But just bear with me and let me get to my real burden here, my thought. When you buy something at the store and it comes with a set of instructions and you can't even figure out what the instructions are saying and you can't even maybe put it together and make it work the way that it ought to work. When you don't understand the instructions, when you don't understand what's happening, when you go to the store and you come back out of the store and go to get in your car and discovered you locked your keys in the car. Everybody's done these things. Pretty much. Life is a struggle sometimes. A lot of times. And let me tell you, as you get older, it doesn't get any less struggling. But we have a personal understanding Savior. Unto you, He said, has been born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. When the husband comes home from work, now that we only have one family here that can relate to that right now, but you just wait. And the wife is all stressed out, and all upset and begins to tell him what all the little children have done today, all the things that they've gotten into, all the trouble that they've caused. And honey, by the way, does our insurance cover the other guy's car? All kinds of stressful things come along in life, don't they, folks? That you and I have to deal with. And you know, I was also thinking this morning, I know some folks today personally, they got up today, they had no desire, no idea, no purpose, no intention of going to church today. Don't even think about God today, but they're going to go to some holiday festive thing. They got these kind of plans and these kind of things that they want to do and not giving God a second thought. Folks, How would you like to go through this life that you and I are going through today without a personal understanding Savior? May God help us, folks, to put Him first, not on the back burner, but put Him right there first in our lives, praising Him, honoring Him, glorifying Him, praying to Him, lifting Him up, exalting Him in everything that we do. Because life's a struggle. Except for Sister Betty, I'm the oldest one in here this morning, so I know a little bit about it. But there's some of you that know a little bit about it too, because I see some heads going up and down. Honey, the children have just been incorrigible today. Can you do something? Honey, this thing broke. I was trying to use the blender or the mixer and it broke and it doesn't work anymore. What are we going to do about it? We got to get a new one because I got to have one of these things. We'll take care of that. You know, when chaos comes and emotions start getting frayed and we start falling apart, we need to ask the Lord for a little calmness. Just settle down, stop, get a little calmness. You know what one of my struggles is today? You know, wife and I sat there, got four children, love every one of them. I believe they love us in their way. But do they ever call and think about us, check on us, care about us? And they do. Some of them do anyway. Every once in a while, the other ones will. Life is very stressful. Sometimes we can come to the place in dealing with all these things that we think no one even cares. Remember that story I told you about Sister Betty Baker? She's in eternity now. Drove up there to Fort Wayne, Indiana. So discouraged, living alone. So discouraged. Sitting there on the couch telling wife and I don't feel like anybody loves me anymore. I even wonder, does Jesus even love me? It can get hard. Life can get tough, folks. And you all know that. But I'm presenting to you someone that cares. We got a Savior. Yes, He came to save. He came to deliver. He came to save us from ourselves and from our sins and all those kind of things. But we need Him for a lot of other things, don't we? He came to be a friend. The hospital sign says we're here to listen. We're here to help. And we're here to heal. Well, I want to tell you this morning, there's no one that can do that any better than Jesus. He'll listen to you. When you cast your burdens on Him, when you get down under those things, He'll listen to you if you'll take them to Him. And He'll help you. He said He'd be a present help in every time of trouble. And He can heal you too. Make no mistake, folks, He's a healer. He was a healer when He walked the earth, and He's still a healer today. And we heard in Sunday school this morning, He has all power. All power is His. He made these bodies that we have. There isn't anything that He doesn't understand. I mean, man's learned a lot of things about how this body works. Learned a lot of things. But God's the one that designed it. He's the one that made it. And He knows how it works and why it works. And the scripture even says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. A Savior, a personal, understanding Savior. Oh, when life sometimes seems like it falls down around our ears, our emotions begin to take over, our sleep becomes little, our memories kind of leave us, pains that we have to deal with, whether they're physical, mental, or emotional. We deal with all these kind of things. And I want to encourage you this morning. We have a personal understanding Savior that cares all about us. All these things that I've mentioned and many more that have happened to you and me in our lives, they call it stress, don't they? These things bring stress. And they've also learned that stress can kill. Stress can bring about high blood pressure. It can bring about all kinds of afflictions upon our body. It can touch our nerves. It can touch us in many, many different ways. Stress can interrupt your day. Stress can come in like a flood. But what does the scripture say? How does that say that over there in Isaiah? The Spirit of the Lord comes in like a flood. See, the devil's got his floods. God's got a flood too. To wash out all of the enemy's floods. And I'm thankful for that this morning. A personal, understanding Savior. Hopefully when you leave here today and go home, that little thought, those words will register in your mind, a personal. He cares for me. When all that stress comes, and when all those days fall apart, they don't go the way that we thought that they were going to go, or the way that we had planned that they were going to go, and everything goes wrong, then we say, Lord, how am I going to cope with all of this? How am I going to deal with it? Well, sometimes we can't. We need a Savior. We need a friend. We need someone that understands better than my wife or my husband or my neighbor or my friends here. Well, we need a friend that understands it all. One that I can tell him all about it. We need him, don't we? There's a song in our book called Alone with God. Just want to read a couple little verses. When storms of life are round me beating, when rough the path that I have trod, within my closet door retreating, I love to be alone with God. I don't have to remind you today that when these things begin to happen in your day, the best place for you is to get alone with God. The best place for you is to come into His presence and ask Him for grace and ask Him for help. Things never seem to go right when I don't get enough rest and enough sleep and my patience is very thin. It's hard for me to deal and cope with life, isn't it? It's hard for me to deal with those things. When the storms of life are around me beating, and they're beating. And then it said, what though the clouds have gathered o'er me? What though I passed beneath the rod? God's perfect will there lies before me. Now folks, this is the crux of my little thought this morning. These things don't just happen to be happening. God has a purpose for everything. I remember Brother Austis Wilson said years ago, he was reading or quoting the scripture that said, all things work together for good to those that love God. And that's the secret of it all, is loving God. And then he went on to say, God doesn't play with you and I like a cat plays with a little ball of string. But God has a purpose in everything that He wants to do. The song says, though I passed beneath the rod, God's perfect will there lies before me. And you know, you're probably not going to really see the will of God. You're probably not going to get an understanding of it until you've entered into that place where you've got alone with God and took your burdens and your cares to Him. Folks, when things fall apart, you and I have got to stop and take a time out. You know, they put children in time out today. I don't know what good that does. But they put children in time out today. it's time for us to get into time out. You see, the children, as they're growing up, when my parents wanted to go to Kentucky on the weekend, and I didn't want to go, but they went down there to see parents and my grandparents and to see family, I didn't want to go, but I went because they were my parents. God has a purpose for everything. God is our Father, folks. And I do what He wants me to do, and I go where He wants me to go if I listen to Him. Because we have a personal and an understanding Savior that loves us. When storms of life around me beating. Storms. These storms that come into our life. These things that happen that you wasn't planning on. These things that you didn't see coming. You know what they do? Let me tell you a little bit about what they do. They attack your faith. That's the devil, isn't it? These storms of life, this chaos that we have to deal with sometimes will attack your faith. Storms will destroy dreams. Nothing wrong with dreaming. My wife always said, if you don't have a dream, you never have a dream come true. The folks, all of my plans have been written in pencil for years. Because there's been a lot of things that I wanted to do that I wasn't able to do it. Or God didn't permit me to do it. So my plans are written in pencil so I can erase them real easy. And go on and do what God wants me to do. Storms generally usher in the night. They bring the nighttime on, don't they? Oh, the nighttime. The nighttime when the devil can work. When there's no light. And that's how the devil works, in darkness. And he loves to work in the nighttime. When you get afflicted, you get a sickness, it's your worst probably in the nighttime. That's when your greatest battle is. When the storms of life usher in the nighttime. And the enemy has the opportunity to come at when you're tired. When you've been resting through the day, resting, I mean that with a W-R-E-S, resting with the day, and you've been struggling with all the cares of life, oh, how the enemy loves to come along when you're tired and when you're weary and present his little thoughts. But I'm recommending to you this morning a personal and an understanding Savior. You lean on him. You trust in him, folks, because he's going to be your help. He's going to be your stay. He's going to be your guide through this whole world, through all your struggles, through all the chaos that may be presented to you in life. I want you to know that God has a purpose because he loves you. He loves us, folks. Don't ever forget that he loves us. I spent the next half hour, 45 minutes reading Sister Betty's scriptures, telling her, yes, don't ever doubt that the Lord loves you. He gave his life for you, Sister Betty. He hung on a cross. And he let them have their will and their way with him because of his love for you and for every one of us. And he understands what life is all about because he lived it. Isn't it wonderful to have an advocate? Have someone sitting there with the Father, and I go to the throne of grace and I pour out my heart and I tell the Lord all my problems, and the Lord can turn to the Father and he can say, Father, I've been there. I've been there. I understand what they're going through. I understand their pain. Now, Father, I want you to send some grace. I want you to send some mercy. And I want you to reach out to them, Father, because they love me. They've accepted me in their heart and in their life. They love me, Father. And I want you to show your love to them. They need your help. They need your aid. Oh, I'm so glad that we do have someone that sits there with the Father. And that he can take all of our burdens and all of our... And he knows. And he understands. He was spit on. They plucked the hair from his cheeks. He was accused of casting out devils by the devil himself. He was accused of all kinds of things. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. I was reading this morning, whenever he cast the devils out of Legion and they went into the swine and the swine went into the sea, over 2,000 of them, they came out to see what was going on, and Legion's sitting there clothed and in his right mind. But they didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know what to do with that. What do we do with a man like this that can take an insane man and deliver him and have him be in his right mind? So they told Jesus, they asked him, would you leave our country? Go on out of here. Because they didn't understand. Didn't know what to do. Didn't know what to do. Don't we live in a society today that by their actions are saying, Jesus, get on out of here. We don't need you, Jesus. We're sufficient within ourselves. We'll take care of this. I got this, Lord. I don't need you. Well, folks, I need him. We all need him this morning. We all need the Lord. When the night times come, the questions begin to arise. Lord, don't you love me? Where are you, Lord? Why are you permitting all this to come upon me? He has a reason, and I want you to know that. And I want you to know that he cares. Mark, the book of Mark. Move along here. The 6th chapter. The 30th verse. The disciples had just come after taking up the body of John the Baptist that had been murdered. And it says in verse 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So many people pressing upon Jesus. So much going on at the time, and Jesus has come. Ye yourself, let's get apart. Let's get alone for a little while. Jesus knew what the secret was, didn't he? But I want you to know something about Jesus. This was probably the second most stressful day in his life. He had just gotten word that his cousin had been murdered, all because of someone's hatred for John the Baptist, because of what he had said. Hatred caused him to be murdered. He had just gotten news that his cousin had been killed. That would bring sorrow, wouldn't it? That would bring sorrow and sadness of heart. Now Jesus, the Savior, he was a man. And he felt the same things that you and I feel. I'm firmly convinced that when they laid the stripes on his back, he felt every one of them. And he took them for you and I. I'm fully convinced of that. So this day in his life, he gets bad news from the disciples. And it said they departed into a desert place by ship, privately, into a desert place, a place of solitude. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot, fitter out of all the cities, and outwent them and came together unto him. Couldn't get away from him. Just got the bad news about his cousin. And he wanted to get away and just get quiet. Get in the presence of the Father. Deal with the humanity side that he had. But it says, verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. No matter the sorrow, no matter the needs that Jesus had as a man, His mind and heart was always reaching out to those around him. He saw these people as sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things because of his compassion and his love for them. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." You know, he just got the news about his cousin. He got in a boat, tried to get away from all of this. He had received death threats from Herod himself. He had crowds. He had interruptions. He had inept disciples. He was tempted by the people. They wanted to take him into the city and set him onto the throne and make him king. He had all those things to deal with. Jesus did. But I want us to notice something, how he stayed the course, folks. He knew what his purpose was. He knew why he was here. And saints, we need to know what our purpose is too. And the bottom line is our purpose is to glorify God. That's what Jesus desired to do, was glorify God. So, even with his sorrow, even with all the interruptions that he experienced that day, he served the people. This is where he fed the 5,000, I believe. He served the people. He thanked God for the food. And he stayed cool-headed through it all. He didn't fall apart, because he knew who had it all in control. He knew the Father. Folks, it's important that we know the Father. He had compassion on the people. Even though his plans were interrupted, they tell, the history says that it was a 6-mile hike around the peninsula there where the people took off to meet him on the other side. When he got there in the boat, surprise, we're still here. We're still here. Couldn't get away. Couldn't get along. Folks, you and I, in our humanity, there's times, I speak for myself here, that I just gotta get away, get alone, and get some rest, and get some help and some strength from someone greater than me. Jesus allowed those things to happen. Do you remember? Some of us older ones, maybe you young ones that have children, you remember the nights that you needed sleep so bad? And that very night that you were so tired and sleepy that one of the children or the babies got colic? Couldn't sleep, wouldn't sleep? I can remember, believe it or not, all the way back, I can still see. I know where I was walking and standing in the house that we lived in. Our oldest daughter, little baby, had the colic. I worked. I had to get up 5 o'clock in the morning and be at work at 6:30. I had a job. My wife, she had other children to take care of. But this little girl, she had the colic. And I can still remember her holding her to my chest and walking throughout the house, the kitchen, the dining room. I could walk kitchen, dining room, living room, and right on through there, and holding that little baby, squirming, fighting, screaming, hollering. And I held her to my chest and held her so strong that she couldn't hardly move. And I just walked her, talking to her, trying to comfort her. Oh, but I sure would have liked to have been in bed. And I sure would have liked to have been able to get my sleep and my rest. Folks, that's part of life, isn't it? It's part of raising a family. It's part of having children. Folks today are abusing their little children. Folks today are taking their little children's lives. That's a whole nother message. the folks, whenever we get interrupted, our sleep is interrupted. Our rest is interrupted. Oh, the days, I didn't have a lot of them back when I worked. Saturday would come, it's my day off. I'm going to do something with the family. Or maybe I'm going to change the oil in the car. Back there we did that. Back in those days we did those kind of things. Change the points and the plugs, and I put in starters. I did all kinds of things to my car. I don't even know where to start today with this new stuff. They don't even have points today. You got to take the engine practically out of the car to change plugs for everything around it. Saturday. I got plans for Saturday. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We may even take children and go to the Dairy Queen later on in the day. And then someone comes along, a phone call. Oh, I need some help. Planning on moving today. Is there any way you could help me move? This broke. That broke. Or I need a ride. You know what I'm talking about? Interruptions. Things don't go as they plan. We have a personal Savior that understands and that He cares. And you and I are just to plod on, ride on, be faithful to do what we're supposed to do. As I told them some places I've been, just do what you know you're supposed to do and everything will be fine. You know what you're supposed to do, but are you doing it? And everything will be fine. Sometimes we've all experienced that our plans got to be put aside to help someone else. That's where Jesus was this day. His plans were put aside. Then you read on down here in the scripture where He sent them on a ship and He went up to the mountain to pray. He finally was able to get alone and talk to God. And then it says, when evening was come, ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land, and He saw them toiling and rolling. Do you know anything about toiling? Do you know anything about it today? Sure we do. We know that life can be toiling. We know that things can get hard. Things not easy. Struggles come about from all different directions. Sometimes we do all that we know to do, and it still isn't enough. You ever been there? I have. I've done all I know to do, and it's still not enough. It's still not working. What do I need? I need to turn to the Savior, don't I? I need to lean on Him. I thank God for a Savior that knows and understands all about it. He knows my weakness. He knows my friend. He knows my limits. I don't have the same limits God does. Because He's God. But I'm limited in my flesh. I have limits that's been placed upon me. And the Lord knows that. Jesus knows that. He was here. He was in the flesh. You think that He wasn't tired? When He did all those things, I think He was tired. I think He wanted to get away, but it just seemed like it couldn't happen. It didn't happen. They were always there in His face, always there with needs. Lord, help us today. There's always someone around us with needs. Always someone. Let me kind of wrap this up here. Sixth chapter of the book of John. Jesus was telling them about the bread. He said He was the bread. Came down from heaven. He said in the 56th verse, He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. Folks, there's your secret. That's a good start. On helping you to deal with the toils and the cares of this life. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as their fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Then I want to skip on down. When Jesus, verse 61, knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? You know, it's hard sometimes to grasp a concept when we don't have the full understanding of it. We can't grasp it. Maybe we're not looking at it right. Maybe we just need a little help in understanding what the meaning of it all is. They didn't understand what Jesus meant by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But I understand it as entering into his presence, being hungry for his word, and allowing him to have that fullness that I heard about this morning in my own heart and in my own life. He said he heard a murmuring. He knew that the disciples were murmuring at it, and he said, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Now here's the verse. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. This poor old flesh, it struggles, doesn't it? We struggle in this flesh. And we will, as long as we're in it. We'll struggle with the flesh. Sometimes the old flesh gets the best of us before we walk in the Spirit. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit. Jesus said, it's the Spirit that makes us alive. It's the Spirit that gives life. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life. Folks, it's foolish for any man, any woman, anybody to try to go through this life without the words of eternal life. It's foolish to try to go through this life without a Savior and deal with all the things. And I just mentioned just a few of them that we deal with in life. It's foolish. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. And the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For he knew who from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And then he said, therefore said I unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I can't fully say that I understand how someone could be that close to the fountainhead of life and turn and walk away and be offended at his words. I can't say that I fully understand that. But I'll tell you something. The whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Because folks, there's a day coming, the final day, the day of all days, when Jesus will be here, when we will bow before him. And folks, we're going to need every bit of the fear, the reverence, the respect for this Almighty God that we can possibly get on hand. Fear God and keep his commandments. And then it said, Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Folks, where are we going to go? I heard a testimony this morning. This is the way. It's the narrow way. It's the way of truth. It's the way of the presence of God. We have a personal and an understanding Savior, every one of us that are saved today. Where would we go? Are you going to go away? No, we're not. I'm not going away. I'm not going to be offended if I don't understand what he has for me. If I don't understand what I'm going through, I want to get a little deeper. Seek him a little more for understanding to know what it is he has in mind for me and his direction in my life. Why would we let go of the very one that is there to help us? The very one that died for us. The very one that cares for us. Do we believe today that he's the Christ? I believe he's the Christ, folks. I do believe he's the Christ. And I know that men have sought many ways to get to heaven. I heard a fellow say years ago, if God give you 1,000 ways to get to heaven, somebody would want 1,001. They'd be looking for another one. Men seem to be never satisfied. I'm satisfied in Jesus today. I'm satisfied in his love. I'm satisfied with his faithfulness to my soul. I'm satisfied. I firmly believe with all my heart. And I'll take my last breath believing this by the grace of God that he cares for me and that he is going to help me make heaven my home. And no one else can do that. No one else can do that for you. But he's going to do it. I think about a song dear old brother Lewis Kimball used to sing. I'll keep holding. Holding on to Jesus. I'm going to keep holding. Sometimes when I look around, as old Dr. Dobson wrote a book, said, when God doesn't make sense, sometimes we don't, these fellows here, they went away. Because he didn't make sense. What do you mean? We're going to eat your flesh and drink your blood, and they couldn't, and they went away. Folks, if there's things that God has for you in your life, whatever the stresses are that come your way, and they don't make sense, you need to seek God a little more. You need to get a little closer. You need to spend a little more time alone with God when the storms of life around you are raging, when things don't make sense. When people are doing all of their things and forgetting about God. Don't you forget about God, folks. Don't forget God. He's a personal, a loving, and an understanding Savior. And I thank God for Jesus this morning. Thank you for your time and attention.